जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन बिहारी की, श्री श्री राधा वन बिहारी जी की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, श्री गोवर्धन धाम की, श्री वृंदावन धाम की, यमुना मई की, जय जय श्री राधे श्याम। सो फाइनली विच लैंग्वेज वी शुड स्पीक? इंग्लिश ओके? इंग्लिश ओके? ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर इनवाइटिंग मी। टुडे इज द ऑस्पिशियस डे ऑफ भ्रातृ द्वितीया, वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट फेस्टिवल ऑफ द मंथ ऑफ दामोदर। सो द स्टोरी गोज लाइक दिस। सूर्यदेव got married with many wives, and one of the wife was Sandhya Devi, and Sandhya Devi was quite overwhelmed with the effulgence of Suryadev. She was unable to tolerate the tej of Suryadev, and somehow she was managing, and regularly she was going back to her father's house just because of intolerance. So father would say, "Arey, I married you with Suryadev. You cannot just come back again and again. It is not proper. I have done kanyadan, and whatever I have donated, I cannot again and again have back in my house. It's a very embarrassing situation for me. You should go back." So she said, "Father, I am unable to bear the effulgence of my husband, and still I have given birth to two children. One is Yamraj and another is Yamuna Devi. But I am in too much dilemma. I love my husband," and she was a very chaste Pativrata lady, "but still she was having a great practical difficulty. So she wanted to go for tapasya, enough tapasya so that she can bear the stage of Suryadev and serve him nicely. So she created her chaya, which is very mysterious to me also, how if she could not tolerate, how her chaya could tolerate." That question I have also got. But anyway, the story says that she created her chaya and made her pran pratishtha and made her alive. And she was exactly like Sandhya Devi. And she told Chaya Devi that, "You go and associate with my husband and do all the duties of a husband, I mean of a wife. Fulfill all his desire, but don't let him know that you are not me. You are my Chaya. And one more thing I warn you, that I am leaving my children behind. And definitely when you will associate with my husband, you will have children. So don't differentiate with my children and your children. This is a usual common problem in co-wives." So she went for tapasya, and then Chaya Devi went to Lord Surya, and they started living because Suryadev did not realize that. And then in the course of time, who was born? Shanaischar, that is Shanaihi Charaha. There is a long story that will not go into that, how Shani was named as Shani because he was cursed by some lady. So he always was able to walk very slowly. So Shanaihi Charaha, one who walks very slowly in a very crippled fashion. And then also Vaivasvata Manu was born by Chaya. And he had another co-wife called Batwa. She gave birth to Ashwini Kumaras. And there is another wife who gave birth to Tapi Nadi. Tapi Nadi is, her actual name is Tapti. She is in Gujarat, right? Tapi Nadi. So she is the oldest daughter of Suryadev, then Yamaraj and Yamuna, and then Vaivaswata Manu and Shani, and then another two Ashwini Kumaras were born by another wife. So this is the whole family. So in spite of telling and instructing and guiding, still Chayasita was differentiating between Yamaraj and Yamuna and her children. And she would always punish the Yamaraj and Yamuna. They were small babies. Punish them, scold them, misbehave with them, you know, mistreat them. So as small children also, they were able to realize that our mother, they didn't know also that mother is different. But they felt, why mother is getting angry with us and why not with these two children who are younger to them. So one time, the scolding was so much that Yamaraj as a boy, as a small boy, you know, hurt boy, because of that misbehavior and mistreatment, he just raised his leg on his mother. He didn't hit. But in the mood of, see, if I do like this to you, you know, I may not have hit you, but that action itself is so insulting. Anybody, if I do like this, wife also, or daughter also, this action itself is so insulting. More than hitting also, its action is insulting. So that raising of leg, Chayadevi got very angry and she cursed him that you will become Shasaka of Mrutatma. That means you will go to the abode of all dead people and you will have to take charge of them. And she cursed Yamuna because, sorry, so Yamaraj was like saying, what I have done? You are just punishing me for no reason. That's why I got agitated and you have cursed me also. So then Suryadev, she also complained to Suryadev on top of that, ki these two children are very naughty and they are not behaving well. And he raised his leg towards me, so insulting to me. Do something about it. So Suryadev came and saw the two children. They were so innocent. So he felt, why he must have done this thing? So he went in dhyan. And in dhyan, because he is Trikaldarshi, he could see that she is not actually his original wife. Original wife has gone to tapasya. And these two children, all of them are not one wife's children, they are different children. And that's why she is mistreating them. And she also could see that Yamaraj was innocent. So he said, now, father first, before doing on dhyan, he was like agreeing with Chayadevi. And that time, Yamuna was supporting her brother. Okay, my dear father, my brother is innocent. You are supporting your brother. I curse you also that you will now become in the form of a river. And you also will deal with only sins of people. So then he went to dhyan. Okay, how this is happening? And that time he realized that they both are innocent. So he became very gentle and merciful. And he said, yes, my dear son, now your mother has cursed you, so you have to take charge of all dead people and punish them. But I give you benediction that associating with pritatmas will not affect your consciousness. And even by punishing them, you will not get any karma. You will be karma free. It's like example is given of a judge, you know. The judge punishes somebody by, you know, phasi, hang till death. But he doesn't get any karma because he's just doing his duty. He's not doing his personal grudges. Okay, I don't like you, so I'll hang you. It's not like that. He's going as per the king's law and he's punishing people and giving the sentiment and then they are following that. So like that, you will not get affected by the negative consciousness of the pritatmas and either you will be suffering the reactions of whatever you are doing. And Yamuna Devi, you have to accept the curse and become a river. This is the Laukik story. The Parlaukik story is different. In the spiritual world, Yamuna Devi was first a pond form. The collection of sweat and tears of Radha, Krishna and Gopis when they did first performance of Rasdila in Goloka Vrindavan, all that sweat and tears collected in the form of a pond. And Radharani went to see that beautiful effulgent pond and she told Krishna, we should give a form of a beautiful river. And she became the first river, sorry, the second river, of course, after Ganga, the river in Vrindavan Dham, which became indivisible part of Golok Vrindavan. So that is a paralaukic story, a divine story. But when they come down, on the order of Krishna, when they came down, they had to accept some father, mother. Like Govardhan also had to accept father, Dronagiri and mother. And also Yamuna Devi accepted Surya and Chaya Devi, Surya and Sandhya Devi as mother and father. So then what happened? They were together as children. But because of this curse, they were separated. She had to go and become a river, and he had to go to his loka, where all the dead souls would come, and he had to take up the charge, and he had to do all the punishments. And what kind of punishments, you know? Horrible punishments. Boiling people with the bhoga sharira. There is something called yatana sharira. Sorry, bhoga sharira is in swarga lokas, upper planets. It's only meant for enjoyment. What we understand from medical point of view, in the bhoga sharira, in the enjoying sharira, there are no pain receptors. So nothing like pain enters in the body. Only what you perceive is happiness. And in yatana sharira, there is nothing like sukha receptors. Only pain receptors are there. So even if there is happiness around, you can't perceive it. The body is not equipped. So the yatana sharir will be boiled, I will call it fried in the hot boiling oil, or roasted in fire, or squeezed through the machine like a sugar cane machine, and so forth. There will be the carpenter's axe, is there, no? That how they cut the wood, that will be done. Extremely unbelievable activities will be done. And this is a routine for Yamraj. So he was busy in his service, she was down, so she started feeling separation from her brother, because now mother has gone, the other mother is not, now they also came to know. So they is not treating well, father has said, you go, mother is gone to tapasya. So they were only together, they were very happy with each other. So they got very much in separation. So Yamuna Devi was crying, my dear brother, please come and give me darshan sometimes. So it is said that he came on today's day, on earth, to meet Yamuna, especially at Vishram Ghat. And that day, on today's day, Yamuna Devi was so happy. So she cooked lots of sweetmeats and lots of food, and very lovingly she fed her brother. And brother was very, very happy, extremely happy. And even Suryadev knew that this son of mine is a great Dharma Purush, Mahapurush. In fact, he was personified Dharma himself. So he was knowing that how could he do these things? He must be mistreated by the mother. So he also had recognized the superior position of his son. So that great personality came down, ate from the hands of sister, and they did tilak for him. And then there's something called as neg, you know, in Brajvasi there's a word called neg. Neg means the sister will ask, because she was younger to him. So she said, give me my neg. That means give me a blessing. He said, what blessing do you want? He said, I want a blessing because I see that people who come in your hands are really severely punished. Very severely punished. And my heart simply breaks even to think of what you are doing to them. So I want a benediction from you. Ki whoever will take bath once in me, right from Jamunotri to Triveni Sangam, to Ilabad, from Jamunotri say beginning to end, in whichever place, whoever takes bath in me even once, he should never be going to Yamlok. He should not reach you. So she said, oh dear sister, you are very munificent, you are very much full of audarya. Your audarya is simply inexplainable. Why don't you all come and sit this side, please? Please come here. So, this is, like a too much munificence. Because the people, this will also set up, because he was Dharmaraj, he knew the point of Dharma, from point of view of Dharma. He said, if I give this benediction, as per your statement, then what people will do? They will keep on performing sins for which they are supposed to come to me. But because of this benediction, they will keep performing sins and keep taking bath in you. This will set up a wrong precedence. So I think we should discuss this before I give benediction to you. So they both discussed and they came to a conclusion, a very shastrical and logical and practical conclusion, that I will give benediction to you, whoever will come on this day to Vrindavan and take bath in Jamuna with the sister, older or younger, and whoever will eat only from sister's hand on this day, that will be considered to be as Bhojan Amruta. Then that person will, what to speak of coming to me, he will not come in the material world also, he will go back to Godhead. So that is why it is said that on this day of Bhratru Dvitiya, it's in Jiva Goswami's book also, and also another scripture is called Bhratru Dvitiya, that is called Bhayyaduj or Bhaubiz or Yamadvitiya, Kartik Shuddha Dvitiya. Because 2 days back Ashwin got over and actual technical Kartik has begun. We call it Kartik Mas, but actually Ashwin is Ashwin Purnima to Kartik Purnima. It is Damodar Mas from Vaishnava calendar. So it is considered that whichever sister cooks for her brother today, that food becomes Amrut. And the brother gets lot of prosperity, good health and blessings of the Lord. That's why it is explained that one should not eat anybody's food today except for cooked by sister, offered to the Lord. And it is said if possible, the sister should feed the brother with love in his mouth. Then he will become invincible, he will become healthy and he will become blessed by the Lord. Our Vedic culture is so beautiful that however the brother may be busy, suppose he is very busy, so busy that he just cannot come. So at least 2 days in a year he will come and meet his sister. On this day, the brother will go to sister, like Yamraj came to her. And on Raksha Bandhan day, the brother goes to sister. The sister goes to brother. Is that right? Sister goes to brother to tie Rakhi. So these two days are meant for brother and sister to come together and express their love and bondage in family. So, I was reading Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. So, in that it is mentioned, a small line is there, but a very significant line, that Krishna lifted Govardhan. Not lifted Govardhan. Krishna did Govardhan Puja. After that, they did Govardhan Parikrama. And they were happy. So, next day was Bhayyaduj. So it is said Upananda, and I didn't know that up till now, that they also had daughters. We only read about Ashtasakha, na? Each brother of Nanda Maharaj had 2 sons and they became 8 and they were Ashtasakhas of Krishna. So never there is a mention about daughters that the Nandas had. But there are Upanandas are there. There are 9 Upanandas. And they had one group of gopis as their daughters. And they were Shrutichari gopis. Shrutichari gopis were given benediction to take birth in the houses of Upanandas in Nandagaon. And that's how they were like kinkari gopis. What is kinkari gopis? Kim karaha? What to do? And they would always stand waiting at the beckon call of Yashoda when she would bathe Krishna or feed Krishna or whatever. So she would always stand ready. Okay, bring towel. Okay, bring that. Bring this. Bring more rasgullas. Bring more sandesh. So they will immediately run and bring. And while giving bath, they will stand ready. With some incense, with some nice fragrant material or ornaments or towel or whatever. Anything, whatever, padelti kaam, they would be standing there. And because of that, they got the mercy of Yamuna Devi. And Yamuna Devi blessed them that soon Krishna will become their husband. And that's how, if I am not wrong, they were the people, gopis, who did Katyayani Vrat after Kartik got over. And then Krishna came and stole their clothes. And from 5th day on that, after that, he allowed them to enter in Rasila. So anyway, so this topic came from daughters of Nandas, right? So after this Govardhan Puja, Upananda Maharaj called Krishna Balaram to his house. And Krishna ate food. And Balaram ate food cooked by the sisters, cousin sisters, and they did tilak for Krishna, and he ate food from there. And after the Bhratru Ditya celebration was over, then it seems Narad Muni went to Indra and informed what happened. And Indra got agitated and he said, Sambartaka clouds, and the rains began. This is what Jiva Goswami says. So today's day it is explained that the sisters and the brothers, they have to hold their two hands like this and take dips in Jamuna together. And then the sister will take brother home and cook for him sweetmeats. And it also said, it's a very beautiful cultural, you know, exhibition. When sister will do all these things, cook wonderfully a big feast and maybe feed him with her own hands, the brother has to give neg, that means the donation. And he said that he has to give her clothes, ornaments and money. Minimum three things has to be given. And not only to her, but he has to give her bhaganeya also. Bhaganeya means the children of sister. If she has brother, daughter and son, then them also you have to give vastra, abhushan and dravya. Then the whole ceremony is complete. It's also explained that if sister spends so much money and brother gives 100 rupees and goes away, it's improper. It's improper. He has to give much, much more than what sister has done for him, apparently, you know, not calculating, but apparently in external sense. Then the fullest benediction of their bhojanamruta will be available and realized. Such is our culture. Now, as we have talked about Bhaiya Dooj, I am tempted to tell you about Rakhi Bandhan also. You know that Bali Maharaj was blessed by Vamandev, right? So many benedictions are given. It's such a wonderful thing to read every time. And one of the benediction was spontaneous. All of them were spontaneous only, but one of them was really spontaneous, that I will come to you to Sutal Loka and become your doorkeeper. That was not decided when he left from Vaikuntha. Lakshmi Devi was not knowing. Lakshmi Devi knew he is going as per the prayers of demigods. He is going to bless Aditi Devi and going to become her son. And that's how he is going to subdue Bali Maharaj. Everything she knew. But she never thought, I don't think even Vamandev thought that he will say this. Because, you know, the Lord is always very spontaneously emotionally responsive. Whatever he does, it is simply reciprocation to the love and offering of his devotee. So Bali Maharaj offered everything to him. So he was inspired to go on and on and on. Let us recite the benedictions. The first thing he said, that I will give you Sutal Loka. Now Sutal Loka is not as impressive and powerful, attractive for anybody. It's a lower planet. But he said, I will make the Sutal Loka so opulent that the first person to become envious of you will be Indra. Because Amravati is the topmost planet, the Swarga Loka. Amravati is the most, the king's planet is Amravati. So he said, your Sutal Loka, I am sending you, but it will be more opulent and attractive than Amravati also. And because I know Indra will be jealous of you and he will attack you, I will send beforehand proactively my Sudarshan Chakra to you. And he will revolve around Sutal Loka and protect you from Indra and anybody else also. They will not dare to enter only. That kind of service will be provided by you to Bali Maharaj. Second. Third thing he said, you will live for 36,000 years in Sutal Loka and really, really enjoy so much of opulences with all your family members, which are Rakshasas, but you will not be affected by the negativity consciousness of the relatives which are demoniac. Although you live with them, dwell with them, eat with them, sleep with them, so many things, but you will not be affected. Your pristine divine spiritual consciousness will be maintained by my blessing. And then he said, you will become Indra after ruling for 36,000 years, because you had desired to become Indra and you had performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas to become Indra. You will become Indra. Actually, what is the difference between becoming Indra and conquering all the Swargalokas? Conquering Swargalokas is forceful. You didn't want to give up. You were thrown out of the thing. And becoming Indra means they will salute you. will accept you. So when you have displaced everybody from their kingdoms and usurped and captured their kingdom out of force and thrown them out, they still don't worship you in the heart with respect. So Bali Maharaj wanted them to actually become subordinate to him willingly, like they are to Indra. So that is why he performed 100 Ashwamedha Yagyas. So he said that because you wanted to become official Indra, you will become Indra after 36,000 years. That means you will give up Sutraloka and go to Indraloka and rule from there. And last thing he said that, I will come down with you and stay with you as a doorkeeper. Imagine, come down and stay with you as equal with you in next palace to you is a different thing and give you association. But I will take subordinate position and serve you and stand at the gate to welcome you every day when you come. I mean, what a blessing. I can imagine. What love and what expression of, what reciprocation of the Lord. Because Bali Maharaj, when he he was tied with Varun Pash, you know, when he was actually usurped of everything what he had in two steps. You know, moment before, he was the ruler and owner of the three worlds and all the opulences, everything, he was the owner of that. And one moment later, he was a bhikari. He was a bhikshuk. He had nothing because all that was owned by him was taken in two steps. So, because he was not able to fulfill the third step, Varuna came and tied him with Varun Pash. And what is the meaning of tying by Varun Pash? That means you get dragged. It's not just like, you know, abhi kaise hota hai ki you tie, you handcuffed and he just walk behind you. And the chain in the police's hand and police will walk and they will walk behind. And they sometimes are taking mobile, also talking on the mobile and they're going. I've seen videos in America. This is not like that. Varuna Pash means they are only to be dragged on the ground. And he was being dragged on the ground. Such a humiliating situation it was. Ek to demigods were very anxiously watching. But they were subdued and they were really harassed by Bali Maharaj, by his Brahma Teja, which he received from Shukracharya. That is one embarrassment. Enemies are watching. And second embarrassment is my wives and my ministers and my demon family members also watching. It's a dual killing embarrassment. And in such a greatest humiliation, scriptures explain that Bali Maharaj was experiencing transcendental ecstasy. And that was his choice. He could have continued to feel the embarrassment and the pain of humiliation. He could have chosen to feel, okay, what is this? But out of his choice, he enjoyed the activity of surrender to such an extent, he was actually experiencing transcendental bliss. And that is something which is very attractive to the Lord. Okay, externally, he is being so much harshly humiliated, and internally he is blissful. That is the karishma of Krishna consciousness. So Lord is reciprocating to that feeling which he chose to have within himself. And that's why he was inspired to accept the position of doorkeeper. So he went. So Prahlad Maharaj was also watching all the Leela, because he, you know, he has already got the benediction that 10 generations before, 10 generations after, and your generation will be delivered. So this is second generation. His generation is first, second is Virochan, and third is Bali. So when all this thing happened, he was very curious. He wanted to also see the Lord. So he came down and he was also watching everything, observing the full pastime. And when Prahlad heard Lord saying that he will go down, he thought, I should also go with him. But still now I am worshipping the Lord in the form of the deity which Lord gave him as Narsingha Bhagavan. When Narsingha Bhagavan was about to leave after some time of Leela, Prahlad said, I cannot stay without you. So immediately Narsingha Bhagavan produced a murti, Ugra Narsimha, and said, you worship him, I will be with you in the form of this murti. So from that time, maybe for many, many, many lakhs of years, he was worshipping that deity. With that deity only he had come. So when he heard that Lord is going to Sutraloka, he gave this deity to somebody, and immediately along with the Lord he went. Do you know where the deity is with Prahlad Maharaj gave to somebody? It is there in Mulki, in South Kannada, Karnataka. Mulika Kshetra. That Ugra Narasimha is a deity worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj for lakhs of years, Finally, the long stories are how it came to Mulika Kshetra. Anyway, so now our real story is such that now Lakshmi Devi is wondering, ki my husband has gone down for something. Something, matlab, it's not a long-term situation like Krishna avatar or Ram avatar. It is like a ad hoc avatar. You go, do the work and come back. The situation is there, go solve and come back. So she was expecting he'll come back. But Lakshmi Devi realized ki he's not come back only. She found out from Devarishis. They told that he has gone down to Sutal Loka and he has become Dwarpal. So Lakshmi Devi became very, you know, anxious. So she came all the way down to Sutal Loka. And that was Shravan Purnima day, the day she came down. And as soon as she came down, Bali Maharaj offered obeisances to her and he said, how do I serve you? So he tied Rakhi to his hands. And then she said, I want a benediction from you that you return my husband. So immediately Bali Maharaj fainted. He said, I have done so much. I mean, he knew, you know, see, to give up this to you, give up this to you, give up this to you is one thing. But to offer oneself in surrender is not easy actually. It's very, very difficult. Man, buddhi, chitta, ahankar, everything is offered to the Lord in surrender. It's not easy. So he knew, although it was blissful for him, but he still knew that how much effort he had to do to achieve the Lord in the form that he had got now. He didn't desire that he should come and become doorkeeper, but he was happy to have his association. So he fainted. After a long time he was woken up and then he said, why do you, please don't do this to me. So she said that, at least do one thing, that you decide to go only by one gate every day. Because your palace has got so many gates. And every day you come by different gate. And I see my husband running from one gate to another gate. Because he has to go and stand there before you reach there. And he has to first find out which gate is going to be utilized today. So it's too much trouble for my husband. So he said, yes, yes. But when are you going to release my husband? Same question. So he said, as you have also come down, he's also here. Why don't you both stay here only? So both of them stayed there. And they stayed throughout, you know, Shravan Purnima to Kartik Purnima. That means Shravan Purnima, Bhadrapad Purnima, Ashwin Purnima and Kartik Purnima. Kitna mahine ho gaye? 3 months. Because 1 month is already over, na? Ashar Purnima to Shravan Purnima. So 3 months, Lakshmi Devi and Vishnu Bhagwan, Vaman Dev Bhagwan stayed in Sutal Loka. And on Kartik Purnima, then she said, now we should go. So that time Bali Maharaj allowed them to go and then they both went back to Vaikuntha. So this is the story of Rakhi Bandhan. So Bali Maharaj became the sister of, a brother of Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi asked her husband back from Bali Maharaj, her brother. So I'm just trying to drive one point here, that each and every festival that we have in our Bharat Varsha, it has got so much of spiritual significance and such rich history is there. That means Pauranic point of view also it is very rich. Teaching point of view also is very rich. And each and every festival is centered around the Lord and each and every festival helps you to come closer to the Lord if celebrated in the perfect understanding. And even though there are most inauspicious situations, there are festivals which make them auspicious. For example, in Maharashtra we celebrate Pitru Paksha and no auspicious work is done, right? You can't buy a new car or enter a new house or buy jewelry or something. Everything you just postpone till Ghatasthapana of Devi is done. And at the same time, what is happening in Vrindavan? Anybody knows? What is happening in Vrindavan that time, Pitru Paksha time? Sanji Utsav is going on. As soon as Bhadrapad Purnima is over, from Bhadrapad Purnima only, it starts. And what is Sanji Utsav? Sanji Utsav means all the gopis worship Sanji Devi, which is one form of Parvati Devi. And how do they worship? From whole morning till evening, they will collect flowers from various forests. And there are so many variety of pastimes of gopis collecting flowers and Krishna coming then teasing them, disturbing them, you know, arresting them. So many things are there. Nok jok goes on. And then they collect flowers, and then each and every gopi will make the deity of Sanji on the wall by cow dung. And on the cow dung base on the ground, they will arrange a flower Sanji. That means flower rangoli, you can say in our local language. Those beautiful, colorful, fragrant flowers will be arranged in such a beautiful way. Sometimes a Sanji may be of this whole hall size, so much big. And gopis will all decorate it from all sides and beautifully put colors in between and put forest in between. So many things they will do. So for first 10 days of Pitru Paksha, all the gopis are making Sanjis by flowers. Phool ki Sanji. And from Ekadashi to Amavasya, they will make Sanji of colors. That means actual Rangoli they will make. So in Braj, if you go to in Pitru Paksha, all the Goswamis are doing Shraddha. They are also busy in doing their Shraddha and Sutak, everything is there. But every single temple, whether it is ancient, famous or not famous, or in the houses of people, there will be Sanji made by all the devotees, all the ladies. And in the evening time, twilight time, Sanji Devi will be worshipped. And it's a great occasion. If you go during that time, all the Brijvasis are only travelling from one temple to another. Like we travel on the Jhulan Yatra day. What do? 3:30, 4 o'clock we leave. And we start from Banke Bihari and Radha Vallabhji, then we go to Govindji, Gopina. Every temple there is a Jhula. So like that, every single temple there is Sanji. And each and every temple will tell you, go to that temple. There is a very beautiful Sanji. Go to Bhattaji's Mandir. There is a very beautiful Sanji. And each Sanji will be indescribably beautiful. Our Rangolis, we have one concept. We have seen our sisters and mothers putting Rangolis in Diwali. But these are like indescribable situations. Very, very attractive. So, the point I am trying to convey to all of you is the festivities is the heart of Indian culture. And because of festivities, Indian people, there are many benefits. One benefit is they are always happy and blissful. Well, one festival ends and second festival is beginning. So, preparation start, purchase start and gathering, planning will start. And there will be no depression and no sorrow. There will be no time to think about anything going on in life. Things will go on in life in a negative way also, as per our karma and situation, because we are in the material world. But the culture is such that you will never feel low. You will always feel elated. And that is the beauty of Indian culture. So, what we should be doing actually, along with preaching Krishna consciousness, we should also revive this culture, inform people about the backgrounds of the culture, of the festivals, the meanings, take home message, and inspire them to celebrate this festival. Otherwise, brother and sister fought in childhood and they stopped talking when they were in 13 years and 8th standard, and now they are 55 years and still not talking. I know so many families. Because such immaturity is there, parents are not so serious about the bondage of family members and the family unit, which makes actually India, right? What makes India, India, is a family unit. That kutumbik unit is there, kutumba, which is the strength of India. There was no old age homes before, there was no hospice before. Because the kutumba unit only would look after all the needs, right from birth to death, or old age and disease. All the four painful situations inevitably which are coming in life are looked after by the family unit. And what is the family unit made up of? The relationship between the family members. The bond of love and affection and gratitude that they share, which has to be initiated by parents actually. So that it will be inculcated in the relatives who are supposed to be brothers and sisters and their children and their cousins and everybody. Not only your family, joint family would be there. Uncles and aunties, everybody would be living together. Everybody will be raised together. There would be no dearth if mother is sick. No, buddy ma and choti ma will look after. There is no need of feeling so lonely and frustrated. Mother is frustrated, child is frustrated because mother is sick. So this has to be inculcated in the form of knowledge, inspiration and practical performance. So that everybody will become very happy and well supported and well fulfilled, and not feel deficient in their consciousness. and doesn't keep create any mental deformities or mental illnesses because of some deficiencies that are taking place. That is our culture. Hare Krishna. How much time do we have? It's already okay. So one pastime I would like to tell. Sri Govardhan Eco Village, it's such a blessing of spiritual master Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, that those who have been to Vrindavan, I'm sure many of you have been to Vrindavan many years before even Govardhan Eco Village came, right? And you must all have perceived some transcendental experience by going to Vrindavan, which is different from being in Mumbai and other cities of India. All of us, you know, I remember even my first feeling when I went to Vrindavan in 1986, December, with Giriraj Prabhu also was there. And the first experience of Vrindavan, encountering in Vrindavan, was totally different. And it is very distinct and memorable. You cannot forget that. So when you first met Krishna in the form of Dham, or in the form of name, or in the form of deities, or in the form of his Katha, and the first one was in the form of Prasad. It was very unique. We cannot describe that, but we also cannot forget that at the same time. So like that, when we went first time, then we went first love, and then the second love, and third love, and multiple loves that we had with Vrindavan, and there was multiplication of attachment, and so many things. Every time it went deeper and deeper by the mercy of association of spiritual master and devotees. Saisabhasane, Seribhavami, Pranayi Bhakati Sange. All that was true, we could see and feel. And the first one was we went to 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur by taking loan from His Grace Mahaprabhu Das. So all these were very wonderful experiences. And believe me, the same experience is there here. I was supposed to go to Vrindavan on 1st November and stay for 25 days there. But me and my wife decided, and we cancelled our tickets and we chose to come here. And there is no missing. We didn't miss anything. In fact, where you have opportunity to serve, the Dham is much more prevalent and much more apparent and obvious to you. You can relate to it. And if you go to actual Dham and just have darshans, there is one level of experience. But along with darshans, if you have service to Vaishnavas and to Dham and to deities, then the experience that you get, transcendental experience, is multiplied many, many fold. So, with great deep conviction, we can say that Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master has given us not a replica. Actual Sri Vrindavan Dham is made available over here. To the degree we become purified spiritually, to that degree the whole place will be revealed to us. And that is true about Vrindavan also. When you go to Mathura, Vrindavan also, same thing. To the degree we are pure, to that degree we feel transcendental and blissful in Vrindavan. The same way, if we take this seriously and stay here serving the Dham, serving the deities and serving the devotees mainly, then every single place here which is revealed by the mercy of Guru Maharaj will give you unlimited transcendental realization, of which there is no doubt. So one of them is Pavan Sarovar. We'll spend few minutes. So it was Akshaya Tritiya day. The previous day, Krishna came home and he saw mother making an unusual item. It is called matri. So he asked, "What are you making? I never saw you making this kind of item. What is it called?" So she said, "This is called matri." So why you make matri? He said, "When somebody goes out on travel, then we make matri, because matri stays for many days, so you can have on travel." So he said, "Who's going out?" He said, "Baba is going out with older gopas." "Where is he going?" He said, "He is going to Tribeni Sangam, Allahabad. Today is Allahabad, where three rivers meet." "So why you have to go there?" He said, "Because Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, three rivers meet there. And it's very, very auspicious to take bath at the confluence of these three rivers. So all the gopas have planned to go there." So you know, yesterday also I told, today I'm telling the same thing. Krishna did not like the plan of going out of Vrindavan Dham. So he immediately went to his father. who was also getting ready, you know, preparing, packing. He said, "Father, Baba, why are you going to Triveni Sangam?" He said, "You don't know, my dear child. Three rivers come together, they give lot of purification and spiritual advancement." He said, "Oh, why don't you go tomorrow? Tomorrow is Akshaya Tritiya, Vaishakh Shuddha Tritiya. It's a very auspicious day to do anything auspicious." So father said, "Yes, yes, it is perfect. Today is Dvitiya, tomorrow is Tritiya. What's wrong? One night we'll stay here." So they just postponed by one day. And as usual, early morning, Nanda Maharaj would wake up and go and take bath in his Nanda Sarovar. Early morning, in dark, he would go take bath, then he would do Sandhya Vandanam, he would do prayers, he would do meditation, and then he would come back home. So he went there. So that day, he went there, he saw little light there. I'll tell you why I'm saying little light. I will tell you why I'm not saying lot of light there. Okay. Little light he saw, and he saw a long, tall, hefty fellow, well built, wearing kingly clothes and ornaments and crown of a king. He was taking bath in his old sarovar, Nanda Sarovar. And that was also fine, but he was doing very unusual thing. He was taking bath and the wet clothes, he was coming out of the bank of the Nanda Sarovar and rolling in the dust and again going in the water. And as he was doing that, he was becoming more and more effulgent. Because already he was doing that activity, so he was a little bit effulgent. And now as he was doing this 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, again and again, he was becoming more and more effulgent. So it created curiosity. Now this tells one interesting thing, that Nanda Maharaj realized ki he is not from my village. What does that mean? He knew each and every living entity from his kingdom. Not only human beings, but even the cows, bulls and buffaloes and male buffaloes, everybody, all the living entities he knew as a king. And he instantly realized ki he is not from my town. So very humbly he went and he inquired, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am Prayagraj." He immediately offered Dandavat Pranam, because today he was going to go there. And the personified Prayagraj is, he is there right in front of his eyes. So immediately offered Dandavat Pranam. And he said, "So grateful to you that you are here. But I am wondering and puzzled to see what you are doing. And why are you doing this?" So he said, "All throughout the year, all millions of people come to us, to me, take bath in my waters and leave all their sins. So I lose all my effulgence and I become dark and nistage, lusterless. So on this one day, I come here and take bath. And by doing this, what I am doing now, because the Raj of Vrindavan Dham is so auspicious, it has all the secrets of bhakti hidden in that. So I take bath in your waters and I take the rolling in the dust, and thus I gain my all effulgence back by losing all these sins that I have accumulated for full year." So immediately in the mind, Nanda Baba cancelled the plan of going to Tilabad, Triveni Sangam. And he was so grateful for what he saw. And he turned and he saw on the other bank, there were many, many beautiful ladies in the queenly dresses and ornaments, were doing the same thing what he was doing. So he went all the way across and he asked them, "Oh dear beautiful ladies, who are you?" So they said, "I am Ganga, I am Yamuna, I am Saraswati, I am Godavari, I am Sindhu, I am Kaveri, I am Tapti, I am Bhima, I am Indrayani." So many of them were there, hundreds of them. And they were all taking bath there. And they said the same thing, that throughout the year everybody is taking bath in us and leaving their sins in us. We become contaminated. So once in a year, on Akshaya Tritiya day, we come here and take bath. So Nanda Baba was completely convinced. And on that day, on Akshaya Tritiya day, his sarovar was named as Pavan Sarovar. That those who make others pavan and purified, they also get purified in this pond. So that's Pavan Sarovar nomenclature was created. Naming them was done. And this Pavan Sarovar became a second favorite place of Krishna's pastimes, Sakya Leela pastimes. Anybody knows who is the first favorite place of Sakya Leela? Anybody knows? That is Gwal Pokhara at Govardhan. If you go from Kusum Sarovar a little ahead, then you first get Ratna Singhasan and that forest. What is that called? Forest called Shamwan, Shamkuti it is called as. And there the Singhasan is there, Radharani sit there, and Ratna Sarovar is there. And if you go further ahead, then you come across Gwalpokra. It's now a very dilapidated pond, but Krishna would love to go there. And all that we read, na, the stealing of the tiffin boxes and throwing them, and boys running around and they are throwing in the air all tiffin boxes, and all those beautiful pastimes of China Chapti and teasing and climbing on each other's shoulders, and all that take place there. And the second favorite place is Pavan Sarovar. And Krishna also would bring his cows to drink water. So it's also Go Jalapan Sali. There is one, if you go from this end, it's only square boundary. On the other end, there is a slope. And the cows would come down and drink water from that pond. And then all the cowherds boys will have fun in the water. At one bank, there is a well which was created by Yashoda Mai for Radharani to cook for Krishna. So it is called Yashoda Koop, a special koop. While the water is salty in nature, the koop is sweet water in nature. So there she made that koopa specially for Radharani to cook for Krishna every day when she would come from Barsana. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, because they had given permission to Radharani to go every day and cook for Krishna every single day, so they would have many meals, right? Breakfast, then lunch, and then all the meals. So in between there would be gap. So Vrishabhanu Maharaj built a big palace on the bank of Pavan Sarovar, so that in between Radharani and gopis can take rest. And then you come little ahead, where that well is made. The well is made in Yashoda Ghat. One of the ghat of Pavan Sarovar is for Yashoda. It's a private ghat for Yashoda to take bath. Then you come on further ahead, further here, this side, there's a temple of Radha Pavan Bihari, which has blue domes. And then you go like this and cross and go on the other side of the Pavan Sarovar, there is Vallabhacharya Baitak is there. It is said Vallabhacharya stayed there and performed Bhagavat Saptaha. He chanted, he did Mool Parayana Bhagavatam and also spoke on Bhagavatam. And that is called as Baitak, that is called Vallabhacharya Baitak. He has got 84 Baitaks in India. Wherever he sat and recited Bhagavatam, that became his Baitak and a worshipable place. So that is there. If you go further from there, you will have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Baitak. All of you know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan in 1515. And he went to Kamyavan, took bath in Bimalkund, came all the way to Nandagaon, and he took bath in Pavan Sarovar. And he did his bhajan and chanting and dancing at the banks of Pavan Sarovar. That place is called Chaitanya Baitak. And then he went to the mountain asking everybody, have you seen a deity of a mother and a child? And everybody, they didn't know, but they said something is there in the cave. So dancing and chanting ecstatically after taking bath in Pavan Sarovar, Lord climbed the mountain and discovered Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna in the mountain, which were later installed by the devotees there. Then what else? Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kuti is there at the bank of Pavan Sarovar. While Radha Madan Mohan Ji temple was under construction, Sanatan Goswami chose to travel. So sometime he stayed in Pavan Sarovar, bank of Pavan Sarovar, and long time he stayed in the Chakreshwar Mahadev area. So at that place, Sanatan Goswami, it is explained that for days together he would go in ecstasy, in trance, and not drink or eat or sleep. He would be simply in trance. So like that, one time he was in trance for many days without food and drink and sleep. So a small boy came to him and woke him up from his trance. And he said, Baba, I have heard from ladies that many ladies are waiting for you for bhiksha, giving bhiksha to you, but you have not been going to them to take bhiksha. So I have come to you to give milk. Do not do so much of fasting. Drink this milk and nourish yourself. I will come back soon to take the pot away. And the boy disappeared. And Sanatan Goswami was so much enamored by the beauty and the sweet words of that boy that he drank the milk and he went in total ecstasy. Tears started flowing from his eyes and his hair stood in the end. His throat became choked up and soon he realized that boy was Krishna. And how did he not realize that? So that beautiful pastime took place at the bank of Pavan Sarovar. It is explained that even if a bird flies over Pavan Sarovar, he gets liberated. Braj Bhakti Vilas says that Nanda Baba and Yashoda Devi, they tied their Uttariya Vastra together and took bath in Pavan Sarovar. When Krishna was born, Nanda Baba actually donated all the cows at the banks of Pavan Sarovar. I mean on his birthday, of course. Birth was done in Gokul, but on the consequent birthdays, celebrations, he distributed cows at the banks of Pavan Sarovar. By performing snan and achman, huge paparashis are destroyed. So right, at the conclusion we will chant the Pavan Sarovar Pranam Mantra, which is from Braj Bhakti Vilas. Let us chant. Namapavana Rupaya. Namapra Pavana Rupaya. Devanam Kalmashapaham. Nandadi Pavana Yaiva. Tirtharaja Namostute. Tirtharaja Namostute. One who purifies all the purifying places, including all the gopas, including Nanda Maharaj, including demigods. We offer our humble obeisances to such a king of holy places. That's why it is said that Krishna doesn't like people to leave Braj, because everything is there in Braj. All the 14 planetary systems, whatever holy places they have, all of them have taken shelter in Braj Bhumi, whether visible or invisible. Then last mantra we'll chant, Yashoda Kupa Mantra, which is the prayer to the well that Yashoda created. Tatraiva Sarato Madhye Yashoda Kupam Utkhanat Yatra Kupam Pibottoyam Krishna Tulyam Suto Bhavet. Samajh mein aaya kuch? In between this glorious pond, in the center of this pond, I mean on the center side, there is a beautiful well made by Yashoda. One who drinks water from this well, he will get Krishna, a son like Krishna. Kya bataya hai? Krishna tulyam suto bhavet. How? Yatra kupam pibot toyam. Once you drink the water from this well, you will get a son like Sri Krishna himself. बोलो श्री कृष्ण भगवान की पावन सरोवर धाम की जय जय श्री राधे श्याम. आर देयर एनी क्वेश्चंस? थैंक यू वेरी मच. हरि बोल.